Brother Joe for lifting us up in the music. We thank God for each one of you that have gathered here today. I want to call your attention to the book of 1 John, one of the letters that John the Apostle wrote to the church, and just focusing on a couple of verses as we read in 1 John. It should be verses 6 and what do I have here? Okay. Wrong sermon. Hold on. We'll get to the right one in just a little bit. We're going to be reading actually verses 6 and 7 of 1 John, chapter 1. I'm going to read 3 and 4 and also 6 and 7. All right, there we go. I'm getting there. All right. All right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen from the beginning, we've heard and declare unto you, that you also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be complete. Verses 6 and 7. He who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Thank God for His word. You may be seated. We want to speak on the subject this morning, powerful fellowship. Powerful fellowship. We just sung the song, What a Fellowship. What a Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What is powerful fellowship? And more importantly, how do we share that fellowship with one another and with God? That's the question that every one of us should ask. Now, people come together for many reasons. Some come together for war. Some come together for peace. Some come together if they're going to have a gathering of some sort. This time of year, you will have family reunions and people come together, but it's not necessarily a fellowship. What is a fellowship? And the question that we need to ask ourselves, has God called us into fellowship with Him? Has God called us into fellowship with Him? And if God has called us into fellowship with Him, then what does that mean as we have fellowship with one another? Powerful fellowship. That's the question this morning. That's the question. And when we look at this, we have to define it. It's called koinonia in the Greek, and it actually means not just gathering together, not a place where we simply hang out or we just spend some temporary time together, but we dwell. We dwell. Now that we have fellowship with God, it's an unbroken fellowship. We need to understand that. You're not coming once a week and greeting God and then leaving God. God is with you. It's now Emmanuel. God with you. He's not some place far away in heaven. Our Father, He does dwell in heaven, but His Spirit dwells in us. You dwell with God. So fellowship is not a temporary gathering together. It's a permanent relationship that we have with God. Here's another point. We will have fellowship based on certain labels. Well, I'm a part of this singing group. Well, I'm a part of this group, and we meet on every Wednesday. And it's usually associated with labels. You know, I have friends that I talk to about certain subjects, and so I'll call those friends if I'm concerned about that subject. But we're not talking about the label type of fellowship. We're talking about a fellowship that is deeply rooted in the acceptance of God's grace. Full acceptance, full assurance, full confidence that we have in the living God. It is a complete fellowship. Now, friendship, you can level them up to a limit, right? But how many know you got family members, you just can't disclaim them? You sometimes don't want to love them. Matter of fact, you get mad at them, but they're still your loved ones. It's amazing how that John the Apostle will use the word beloved. He'll use the word beloved. That meant that God didn't just choose to love you because you did something significant. Or you are somebody important. God chose to love you before you were even created. Amen. He has set his affection upon you. And so there's nothing that you can do to erase the love of God. As a matter of fact, it is John who writes, "What great love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." It's amazing. And what John is telling us in these verses is that we have this amazing fellowship with God, an unbroken fellowship with God, an unconditional fellowship with God. What a fellowship that we have with Jesus. But here's the thing that we all need to recognize. John didn't just tell you that you have fellowship with God. Powerful fellowship is not just one that you share and you come together and you worship God, you say your prayers and you say amen and you've got this neat and wonderful relationship with God. He then crosses this thing where it's not just horizontal, but it's not just vertical, but it's horizontal. It's the love that you have for one another. Notice his words here again in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, that we may have this which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also, not just me, but you also may have fellowship with us. May have fellowship with us. Now, what I find is that people who come to faith in Christ nowadays, they're concerned about their relationship with God, but you need to be concerned about your relationship with your brother. If God would put us on the scales, he would say that your relationship with one another should be just as important as your relationship with God. Now, hold on a minute. I know some of you are saying, wait a minute, I love God like no other. And it's true, you should love God first and foremost. But here's the thing that God does. Here's what amazes me. He takes his love and puts it in you. Right? God gives you his love so that now you can express that love that God has put within you. Watch this. If you do not express that love, then you're actually sinning against God and you're sinning against your brother. Amen. Well, why do you say that, preacher? Why can't it be that I can love God and not have to be responsible for loving somebody else? Why can't it just be this thing of, well, I just have fellowship with God and not worry about anybody else because after all, they can't put me in heaven or hell. Sound like a good argument. But God's not buying it. Amen. Because what he does, he floods you. What great love the Father hath overwhelmed us with, flooded us with. So that now when that love overflows and begins to express itself, you can't help but give it to someone else. Even when they don't meet your standard or condition. How can that be, preacher? Romans 5:8, you didn't meet God's standard or condition. While you were yet sinners, transgressors against God, he loved you. Amen. While you were in your lowest state, God chose to love you and bring you. Watch this. It was the kind of love that reeled you in. You ever watch these fishermen? They'll go out and they'll reel a fish in. God lured you in. He brought you into fellowship with him. And John says, truly our fellowship is with God, but it's also with one another. Powerful fellowship. And why is this message significant now? Because you have people, for whatever reason, they will hold small sins against other people. You know, they'll get mad at somebody because they cussed them out. Yeah, they did. And yeah, words hurt. Yeah, I know that. But we've done worse things to God. We've done worse things to God, and He forgave us. And so we need to have that same love and that same fellowship with one another. John sees this as an opportunity for us to perfect. And when he says perfection, he's not talking about being flawless. He's saying being complete. Have you ever watched a plant and it grows and it has different conditions, but it grows to the point where now it begins to reveal the fruit? The leaves may not look like much, but it's the fruit that really counts. It's the fruit that it produces. The Bible talks about you as being a fruit bearer. And that fruit is always born in love. That God is now growing through you. He's growing that love in you and me. He's giving us that amazing capacity to love unconditionally. That's what a powerful fellowship is. So the question that we've got to think about today is that, can we, this church, get to the point where we're expressing that kind of powerful fellowship in Christ? How many of you say you can? Are you up to the challenge? Do you believe we can do it? If you believe that we can do it, then we've got to learn about it. We've got to express this kind of love, right? We've got to be able to say, I will go out and I will do my part of expressing this fellowship that we have with Christ and with one another. Now, how do we do that? First of all, you got to be aware that in this fellowship that we're facing, we've got to be aware of some of the barriers. You're going to run up against some stuff, right? You're going to run into some challenges. And the first one is sin. We all got it, right? You ain't got to look far for it. You don't have to go far and near. It'll crop up every now and then. I didn't know I had it in me. Yeah, you're still growing. You're still learning. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. So now, what is John saying? He's saying in order to have this fellowship, we've got to make sure that we are dwelling in light. He says, for if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And look at this, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, with us not being Jewish, it's hard for us to appreciate the power of the blood. Amen. But in the Jewish culture, every animal sacrifice had to have blood, and the blood offering was for a cleansing or an atonement. Atonement for sin. Somebody, something had to pay, and it had to pay with blood, which meant it died. Amen. It died in order to cleanse. So when you look at our cleansing and what's going to help us with this huge barrier that we have, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. And he says in this verse, 7-9, he says, now if we say we have no sin, if we say that we don't have sin, well, it's impossible for me to sin. I'd never rob. I'd never cheat. I'd never lie. Well, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Let me show you one thing that happens. Show you the love of God. When God grabs hold of your heart, not just your hand, He's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. So now the reason why you're not committing sin is because you're walking with Him. Part of the fellowship was described in walking. Yeah, you don't do the things you used to do because you got a new partner in your life. You got somebody else that you're now emulating and somebody that you're now practicing His ways. So you're not walking in fellowship with darkness, but you're walking in the fellowship with the light. Isn't that amazing? God has invited us to come into the light as he is in the light. And watch this. He said, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. So now, that's not the only barrier. That's not the only barrier we have to deal with. We have another barrier that's called disobedience. Disobedience. Before you get to sin, you can run across this thing called disobedience, whether I want to obey or not. For instance, I'm driving down the highway, and the highway sign says speed limit 55. How many of us pay attention to that? I'll go 56. I'll go 50. Well, they're not going to give me a ticket until I go 62. Did you not know that if the policeman pulled you over, you would still be speeding if you were going 55 and a half? Because it said speed limit 55. To obey the law would mean go 54, amen, 53. Amen. And then you're going to have people honking the horn because... You see what I'm saying? Disobedience is when God says, here's the sign. Here's what you need to follow. And we say, well, no, that's not convenient for me right now. I'm not actually committing sin in doing a thing, but what I am doing is I'm saying, God, I ain't gonna walk with you. And that leads to sin. Are y'all still with me? Yes. See, I thought, well, you know, I'll just put it off a little while. I'll just kick the can down the road a little ways and get back to it a little bit later. You've transgressed. You've been disobedient. And the Bible calls disobedience is worse than witchcraft. It's like idolatry. Because when you disobey God, you're obeying something else. Yeah, I would do that, but I would let them go there. But now you're saying I will not have fellowship with God because I've got a mind of my own. My mind is telling me I don't have to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, disobedience is what Satan did. It's what Satan did. And it's what we do in our pride. These things can interrupt and cause these barriers that we have in fellowship. Got one more, and then we're going to get to some closure for this. Hate. Anybody got any haters? Anybody know anything about haters? You know, haters. You know, you got folk. But I'm talking about something else now. Talking about something else. And it's filling our culture. It's filling our culture. You've got people that says because somebody is of a different color, different hue than I am, then I've got something against them. Or they've got something against me. Hate goes both ways, by the way. You hate me, I hate you. You hate my dog, I hate your cat. Look at what he says now. We're talking about dwelling in fellowship, walking with God in light, right? So if he said, now he that says he is in the, I'm in the light. You know, you see these pictures during the Renaissance and some of these pictures, they wanted to display holy people. So they put this light around them. And they would have this glow, this aura about them. You could almost hear the angels singing, right? But the Bible says he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even now. Now, how did that speak to the Jews? They considered Gentiles to be like dogs. You don't belong with us. You don't belong in our company. Now watch them going down your street now. You got family members you wish you could disown, right? Because every time they show up, they mess up. You hate their ways.
But they've gotten on your nerves so much. Every time you come around, you've transferred that hatred for their ways to now you hate them. Oh, I just despise them. Y'all mighty quiet in here. Hello? Anybody in the house? We've all done it. He that hated this brother is what? In darkness. Amen. These are barriers to fellowship. Because remember when you were the object or the subject of hate? Remember when people did not like you regardless of your achievements or your accomplishments? They hated you. And now for you to return the hatred, for you to say that I've got a right to hate because I have been hated. Did you not know what the Bible says about Jesus in Isaiah 53? That he was despised and rejected of men, yet he never stopped loving those who were piercing his side. He never stopped loving those who were railing on him. He loved them to his last breath. He loved them completely. And when we enter into this fellowship with Christ, when we enter into this fellowship that God has with us, I'm telling you, we dwell in light. Even though you got to hold your nose as you hug your brother, you're still saying, brother, I still love you. Despite what you've done, despite how you brought your life down, I still love you, and the grace of God can still reach out to you. The grace of God can still heal you. He can still deliver you. God can still bring you into that fellowship with him because he is God. We believe in a life-changing God. We believe in a God who can pick you up and turn you around. We believe in a God that goes the limit for us. We believe in this God. And because we believe in this God, we believe in one another. Amen. We believe that no one is hopeless. And we also believe that no one should be alone. We have a fellowship. I wish you would, for this first time, tell somebody, we're in a fellowship. We're in a fellowship. That's what we're in. Hear the blessings, and then I'm going to close. Hear the blessings. First of all, true fellowship. It is a true fellowship. I'm not going to lie to you. Why am I going to lie to you? If we're in fellowship one with another. And now watch this now. Watch this. I might be tempted to lie. Did y'all hear me? Because I know I got certain things about me that I don't want you to know about. But guess what? This is a small community. Stuff you think folk don't know, they knew it a long time ago. So here you are, you want to come around and you want to impress somebody. You want to say, Dad, let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you. And they know everything about you, every detail about you. In order to have true fellowship, we got to quit lying to each other. If y'all know that I got a limp in my walk and no need of me leaving the cane at home and then walking like I'm proud. True fellowship. True fellowship means I can love you past your weakness. Yes, that's right. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
It means I understand about you because you, guess who understands you? Guess who knows you like nobody else? And if he ever wanted to pull you out and show you up, Lord have mercy, somebody. If God ever wanted to make a mockery out of me, he could do it in a split second.
Amen.
He could tell me, that's all you are. But you know what he tells me? That's not what I made you to be. Our fellowship is with this God that, watch this, yeah, I got stuff in my life, but with this God, I'm learning now, Miss Kaplan, to be more like Jesus and less like me. Are y'all in the house today? Now, I know some of y'all, you checked it off. You're perfect. But for the rest of us that's still working on it, would you clap your hands with me and let folk know that you're not what you used to be. You're not where you ought to be. But you're not where you used to be. God has made a difference in your life. And John wants us to know that this is the true fellowship. Nobody's coming here to show you up. Nobody's here to put you down. But we are here to help you to get up to the place where you need to be. Now, if truth be known, a whole lot of y'all were broke, busted, and disgusted when you first came to Christ, right? But look at you now. Amen. You're not everywhere you ought to be. Not everything you're doing what you ought to do. But thank God the Lord has brought a change in your life. So what does he say? He says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He uses that word we use the word verity or verify, right? We use the word verify. In other words, if I say I'm William Coleman, you're going to ask me for credentials. You're going to ask me for some type of identity. You go to the bank nowadays, if the folks don't know you, they'll say, I need to see your ID. I need to see a picture ID. Don't just sign your name. I need to know who you are. In this world, the world needs to know who you are. You can pull out your spiritual identity, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't identify anyone any greater than by the blood. And guess what? It's not just that old blood, but we've got a new nature now. We've got a new identity now, and that identity is in Christ. So it's true. This true fellow. Second thing is full. Full of what? Fullness of joy. Not laughter. You know, this is not ha-ha stuff. This is not somebody told a joke and you still got a broken heart. This is the joy that floods your soul when you've had the worst types of things that happen in your life. This is the joy that puts you back together when you've been broken apart. Anybody know about that joy? Something happened when Nehemiah began to read from the law. It broke the hearts of the people because they saw how they had just transgressed against God. And they saw how that it had caused so much hardship in their life. So have you ever looked back and have you ever seen the mistakes that you made in life?
Yes.
And then ask yourself the question, now that you're where you are, and that you actually said, why did you do that? What were you thinking? And it grieves you, right?
Amen.
But guess what's happened to your past? God erased it as if you never did it. You said, preacher, I need a scripture for that. He took your sin and buried it in the sea called forgetfulness. Now, I know the devil and a whole lot of folk want to remind you about what you did. But you need to remind them about who you are. When a judge brings down the gavel and he says, not guilty, I don't care what courtroom tries to try you unless it's the Supreme Court. And guess what? We've been in the Supreme Court of God. He's declared every one of us not guilty. And why are we not guilty? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that paid for your sin and mine. So the response to that is joy. Amen. He said, I'm writing this to you that you might have this fullness of joy. Amen. I don't have to worry about anybody going down to Scottsburg, Virginia, or to Halifax County, or any place else trying to dig up what William Coleman did. Go on. And yes, you're going to find something that I did, but guess who I talked to about it? Yeah. And that's why John is talking about a fellowship where people aren't afraid. People aren't afraid. They don't come together out of fear. They come together out of this fullness of joy. When we can greet one another in this love of Christ and let people know that you're not only forgiven, I'm forgiven. You're not only saved, I'm saved. You're not only filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit. Let's have a good time in the Lord. Let's rejoice in Christ because he's done these amazing things for us. He did what no one else could do. He made a way when that way was impossible. That's what Jesus means, and that's what it means to have powerful fellowship in him. Then the last thing, to dwell in the light. Dwell in the light. You know, and the question was asked, why do men love darkness more than light? Why do we love darkness more than light? And you got to think about these cartoons, you know, where this little shady little character, he sneaks and he gets behind this little tree, doom, 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 doom. And you can see him And he thinks nobody else is watching, but we're watching it, right? We love darkness because sometimes we think we can get away with stuff. And God Almighty, he had this spotlight shining on us. You can't get away with anything. We dwell in light. And when we start recognizing that dwelling in light means to walk with him, it means to live a productive life. It means to produce not only fruit of your labor, but fruit that is pleasing to God. You haven't been placed here on this earth by accident. God Almighty has you here. And he wants you to walk in the light as he is in the light. And that's an unbroken fellowship. When the disciples walked with Jesus, they took note of it. He said, wait a minute. You're acting like him. Wait a minute. You're trying to go or to say that you're somebody else. Remember Peter? He's in the high priest in palace and he said, No. You can't deny when the marks of Christ are all over you. You cannot deny him. And you know why? Because he will not deny you. His blood has been shed for you. He welcomes you into this fellowship as we welcome one another into this fellowship that we have in Jesus. When Elisha Hoffman wrote that hymn, he wanted to express who we were in Christ. You know what he says? What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. When people come into this congregation, into this fellowship of believers, can they say, what a fellowship. What a joy. As they worship God together. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our challenge. And it's one that I personally want to do my part, being a powerful fellowship in Christ. Amen. Will you join me? Amen. Will you be a part of that group Amen. That will come together as a fellowship in Christ? Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you again for your glory. Thank you for your awesome power. Bless us now and bless the word that has been declared, that we might indeed walk in your truth and walk in the path of righteousness that you've ordained for us. You didn't call us to continue in darkness. You called us to have fellowship with you and to walk in the light as you are in the light. Bless us now and bless our time together, Lord, that everything that we do and say, it might bring glory and honor to your name. We ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and for his sake. And all the people said, amen. We're going to extend the invitation if there be one today.